Economic management remains the key issue of the election campaign, with cost of living issues set to dominate the final 48 hours before the poll on Saturday. Real wages have suffered their biggest fall in 20 years, which Labor says has already left workers an average $2,500 worse off. But on the upside, labour force figures out today are expected to show the jobless rate falling below 4%. Stuart Robert is the Minister for Employment and our guest this morning. Minister, welcome to the program.
Lovely to be with you as always.
Why should voters give the Coalition another term in office when their wages are falling further and further behind the cost of living? Haven't you already had 9 years to fix this problem of stagnant wages growth?
Wages have actually been growing faster than inflation in seven of the last 8 years, Patricia. Unemployment.
No, let me just correct you here. For a record seventh consecutive quarters, wages growth has been either lower or equal with inflation. That's the fact.
And it's also the fact that on an annualised basis, circa seven of the last 8 years, wages has been higher. Unemployment now is hitting a record level. Last month, of course, 3.954 rounded up to 4%. In the words of Labor's Jim Chalmers, the test for this government would be what would happen to jobs on any level, inheriting unemployment at 5.7% and the unemployment rate coming out today with market expectations at 3.9%. We have hit the bar set by Labor on any level at any time. We've come through the pandemic better than most countries on earth. And if you look at inflation right now, right across the world, 5.1% in Australia, inflation is the problem. UK hit over 9% overnight.
All right, but if you look at this wages data, it's still less than half the inflation rate. And when you drill down into those numbers, the only people who are seeing a wage rise are about 15% of employees in the private sector. What about the other 85% of workers?
We saw the wages price index move up gently. From the numbers yesterday, the Reserve Bank is predicting those wages to increase higher and to reach parity with inflation at the end of 2023. At the same time, it's why the government's moved quickly in terms of cost of living package. And the average earner, Patricia, who is eligible for the Lomito, will see $1,500 returned to them. There'll be over $100 billion in tax cuts over the forwards going forward. And you've seen $40 billion in tax cuts since the pandemic began.
So, Minister, I'm just going to interrupt to say this. You're just painting a rosy picture. That is not how Australians are feeling.
I'm actually giving the facts, Patricia, economically, as to how we understand where inflation sits, how the economy and how we've managed it has seen much lower inflation, all of which is important than comparable countries around the world, and the cost of living adjustments we've done through cutting taxes, either going backwards and going forwards, or the cost of living adjustments in the budget. To demonstrate economically, we understand how it works. We're making adjustments for the Australian people to get them through what is a difficult period.
Regardless of who's to blame, workers want a pay rise. Some polling by Resolve Strategic shows 67% of voters support higher wages regardless of the government warnings about higher inflation and high interest rates. And separate polling by the ACTU has found almost 80% of workers will vote for the party they believe won't let wages fall further behind inflation. Have you misread the mood, Minister?
No, we're managing an economy sensibly and soundly. It's why we'll let the Fair Work Commission determine what happens in the minimum wage, and we won't start a inflation spiral like Mr. Albanese is seeking to do it by chasing some artificial number. We'll let the independent bodies like the Reserve Bank do their job, the Fair Work Commission do their job, and at the same time, we'll use our fiscal measures through the budget and our tax settings to provide that cushioning, and that's exactly what we're doing.
What do you think the minimum wage should be?
Not up to me to decide. That's
no,
why we've
but
got independent
you've got opinions.
Commission.
And so much so that your government, you and the Prime Minister have been saying you do think there should be a pay rise. So in so much as that, you do think there should be a pay rise. So what should it look like?
Well, we all believe that wages should go up. The Fair Work Commission in June last year moved wages up a bit over 2%. So there's an expectation that the Fair Work Commission will move on the minimum wage. They always have traditionally. So I fully expect that to happen.
So why would it be such a disaster if it was 5.1%?
We haven't said what number would be good or bad. We're simply reflecting.
So let me put this to you politely. 5.1%. If they delivered that, what would your reaction be?
Let's not move into hypotheticals. That's not wise for anyone.
If they moved 5.1%, would it be a disaster for the economy?
I'm simply saying, Patricia, let's wait till the Fair Work Commission does their job. I'm not going to do what Mr. Albanese does and pluck out smiling emojis and loose comments to appease what is an interesting question by a journalist. The economy is run by disciplined operators, and that's why we're the best government to continue to lead us forward, because we are disciplined, we are reasoned, we are sound in our words.
Okay, so if they delivered a 5.1% increase in the minimum wage, would that be, this is a specific question about the economy, would it be a bad economic outcome?
And I'll give you a specific answer, which is whatever the Fair Work Commission delivers based on their reasonable judgment is what the government of the day will accept, because that's what sound economic managers
do. So if they did decide that, you wouldn't say it would be economic Armageddon?
We don't criticise the independent umpires, be it the Reserve Bank or the Fair Work Commission or indeed the High Court of Australia. They do their job. When it comes to fiscal responsibility, we'll do ours.
Okay. The jobs figures today are expected to show unemployment falling behind 4%, but if there's only been marginal wages growth so far in such a tight labour market, why should anyone believe pay packets will suddenly take off under an even lower jobless rate?
We're already seeing it. So if you look at the two figures in terms of wages, the wage price index, which is your basic pricing mechanism for where wages sit, but then more importantly, the average earnings under the national accounts, that gives a wholesome view of bonuses, looks at if people change jobs, what happens to wages, and that'll see a substantially higher figure, as in the past. Of course, the ANINA, the average earnings from the December quarter, is a number in the threes. So we'd expect to see that much higher. And of course, traditionally, once you start getting tight employment, where people have to fight for the skills that they need, wages becomes one of those settings that are moved. That's why the government's got such a massive increase in skilling, $3.7 billion in the budget for 800,000 more skilled positions, because we want to see productivity roll, because that'll be a secondary driver of wages growth on top of a tight market condition.
On your $3.3 billion efficiency dividend across the public service, Anthony Albanese says this could literally cost lives. He cites the robo-debt disaster when he says that when you take humans out of human services, it has devastating consequences for real people. You were government minister, the government services minister during robo-debt. Has he got a point?
I'm not taking lectures from Mr. Albanese, who, through his policy, killed people in roofs on pink backs and saw thousands slaughtered at seas because they couldn't actually stop illegal boats coming to Australian waters. Mr. Albanese has no
slaughtered at seas.
They unravelled the border protection policies,
cool,
of which
okay,
he still does not okay believe in them.
You can critique their policies, but I'm asking about robo-debt and the deaths
and
that happened
that
because of your policy.
Us about loss of life is almost unconscionable, Patricia, for Mr. Albanese, almost unconscionable.
Well, I'm asking you a question about robo-debt, and you were the minister responsible.
No, I wasn't. Not at all. I was the minister who closed it down because it lacked sufficiency.
Under your government, robo-debt led to some really, really heartbreaking stories. On the substantive question of staffing and humans doing this work, do you concede that that was a mistake of your government?
We've said that the use of automation or annualised tax figures to determine eligibility for fortnight by fortnight income welfare payments lacks efficiency. It's a process that had been going on for 30 years. For 30 years, governments of all persuasions had used income averaging. Now, I was the minister that said this lacks efficiency. I was the minister that stopped it. I was the minister that then saw people repaid where their incomes had been averaged. But this was not something that our government started, Patricia. Let me be very clear on that. This has been a process that had been going on for 30 years.
Well, robo-debt happened under your government very specifically. You were acting education minister. You are currently, after Alan Tudge stepped aside several months ago. 2 weeks ago, you said that you didn't know where Alan Tudge is. Have you found him?
It's not my job to look for members of parliament, Patricia. My job is to be in my electorate and to exercise the authorities the Prime Minister has given me, which is what I'm doing.
Okay, but the point is he's apparently going to come back to the ministry and yet, you know, he's not publicly available. That's a bit odd, isn't it?
The Prime Minister has addressed those issues, Patricia. Although the question I get asked all the time is, who's going to be Labor's Defence Minister if Labor indeed wins? When Mr Albanese and Miss Wong shoot off overseas, who's going to be running that?
Yeah, but I'm asking you about your stood aside education minister.
The Prime Minister has already responded to that.
If you win on Saturday, who does? Why does he deserve to be reinstated as a cabinet minister?
Well, that's a question for the Prime Minister.
But I'm asking you.
It's still a question for the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister alone sets the course of the ministry in the finest of Westminster traditions.
Okay. Just finally, there's this image that's sort of gone absolutely viral. You won't be surprised, of the Prime Minister playing some soccer with a children's team, like young kids, and he falls on one of the kids.
Poor little boy. I think he was pretty good. There was a high five afterwards. So it was just an error from both of them. But yeah.
Error from both of them?
Well, crash tackled by the Prime Minister. That'll be a story you'll tell for the rest of your life, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but he could have broken a bone, right?
It's fine. I think when you get out there and you kick a footy with the Prime Minister, these things can happen. I think the little boy's all great, and I think he's a rock star at school today.
And his name is Luca. I've got a daughter called Luca.
Superb.
Great name. All right, Stuart, thank you. Stuart Robert, thanks for joining us.
Bless you. Thanks, Patricia.
That's the Minister for Employment, Stuart Robert, and you're listening to ABC RM Breakfast.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations, live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.